Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Before we start the show, I just wanted to get this down very, very quickly. It's early morning and Tarawak, my Inuit spirit guide, has just freaked me out with an amazing story. It carries this warning that Western man is arrogant. In 1854, HMS Mightyful travelled from Portsmouth north to the treacherous Northwest Passage of the Arctic, looking for new lands. Led by Captain Grayson, it was thought that the Mightyful may have run aground in the Arctic. One thing was for certain, its 20 men explorers were never heard from again. Over the next 81 years, there had been rumours of what had happened to the men, though nothing concrete. However, there was one primary source of information about their whereabouts. Yes, Inuit oral history. Inuk men from Greenland who told the tale of the white man who came to conquer. And one such person who told this tale, who it seems had actually been there on the icy tundra when these white men went missing, was Tarawak. And this morning, yes, Tarawak told me about it over toast. I mean, it does make a change for him to say something of historical importance instead of going on about his, I don't know, latest fish diet, Bjork, and his frankly unecological thoughts on spearing wildlife between the eyes. Oh yeah, he's a bit bit dyed in the wool, old Tarawak. Polar bears, bollocks to him, is one of his regular cries. They'll rip you a new one given half the chance, them white furry bastards, etc. Not very modern. No, he thought he'd impart the story to me from 1971, when the sailors were indeed found under the ice. Satellite imagery did its best at the time. Divers from all over the world and sonar tracking devices aboard American ships were drafted in to locate the wreckage of the HMS Mightyful. Of course, the native Inuit Greenlanders were ignored. They knew the area like no other and would try to advise the Westerners on the terrain, but no, the British and Americans kept searching in the wrong place, convinced by their state-of-the-art equipment, not listening to the Inuits. After a huge campaign lasting months, the Westerners were on the verge of giving up when Tarawak's mother told one of the Yankee sonar experts that she had found an antique fishing knife in the snow. Yes, she'd been trying to tell him for ages. It was a revelation. It was only then that the arrogant modern Westerners took notice of this tiny Inuit woman. For years, these Westerners have been searching with state-of-the-art technology, ignoring the locals' knowledge. And it seems for years Tarawak had told them to search in a totally different area of the ice. For example, a ridge that his ancestors called Tutugu Vitir Menfossier Unde Isnum turned out, if anyone had bothered to do the work, was translated as the ridge where them 20 white blokes are frozen stiff under the ice. What's more, it was only when the Westerners actually bothered to translate what the Inuits had been calling the whole region sometime later that they realised Ridge Semvio Seguum Himsku Kretunum Alpha Ikitil translates as near the ridge that we told the stupid twats not to go to. And the name of the nearby lake was translated into English as the lake where we offered to give these mugs a lift back to before they fucking froze to death. And all along, the ancient lower glacial area had been named for centuries as Kulu Tilpero Shelu, which translated into English as the, oh well, bollocks to these 20 Portsmouth sailors. If they're not going to listen to us, fuck them. Do not be arrogant, oh Western man. Wonderful, wonderful to be here, ladies and gentlemen. Namaste, shawarma, and a large shashlik to you all. Richie Sunak to each and every one of you. It's Clinton Bloody Baptiste here. And sitting right next to me, a little bit too close, don't matter. Nope, fine. Is Linda Bloody Pollock. How are you, Linda?
I'm all right, thank you.
Can you speak into the microphone?
Yeah, well, that's the point of me sitting close.
I'm not just sorry, yes. Where have you been?
Unsettled, I think is the word. Unsettled.
Oh, cue long story about being unsettled. Don't worry, we'll get to the paranormal in a minute.
It's a good one. It involves underwear. You'll like it.
Go on.
Went to stay at a hotel for a family do.
Yes.
I did have a couple.
Right.
Went to bed. Woke up. Sitting in me undies in one of the communal areas of the hotel, wrapped in a bath towel.
Right.
Not my bath towel.
Was it something that involved drinking lots of booze?
I had a couple. I'm not going to say I want rolling.
Like a couple of what? Bottles of whiskey.
A couple of white wines.
Yeah.
Dry white wine.
Yeah, I know. Well, you're classy like that.
Well, exactly. I don't want sweet. I'm not a child.
No, you're not a child. So you had a couple of...
of dry white wines. Sauvignon Blancs. Well, big hotel glasses.
Okay.
Anyway, so I went to bed. Absolutely
not incidentally,
fine.
Normally with lipstick on the side, I find at hotel large ones. Yeah. Go on, yeah.
And so, I woke up. And I'd been sleepwalking in my underpants and bra, and it was shapewear. It wasn't sexy stuff. It was like that flesh-coloured granny pants, basically. And
Hold on, thank goodness. Let me just think about you in the flesh-coloured granny pants.
Yes.
Beg your pardon. None taken. Go on. Yeah, so you woke up in those.
Yeah, and I was saying to the poor hotel staff that had found me, apparently trying to get out the fire escape. Thank God I didn't.
Yeah, go on.
I was saying, I'm so sorry. I know it's very silly, but I don't know what my name is and I don't know where I live.
Oh, my God. You've gone a bit...
Yeah, oh my. It was a little flash forward to what I might be like in my dotage.
Well, I'm very sorry to hear that. Was it booze? Is it stress? What is it? What could it be?
There's a lot going on, you know, Paul, the cattery, my best brushes, all that stuff.
Oh, that's very interesting. Try to stay away from the cattery stuff. Not that interesting.
But, you know, that's my life, Clinton, and I know it's dull for you, but this is what I'm juggling with.
Not me, love. It's dull for everyone who's come on board. And sorry to the patrons who actually paid for this. Yeah, go
on. I'm trying to compartmentalise it all, but, you know, you can only do so much and then your drawers start rattling.
Oh, God, I think you're gone a bit... Well, let's try to get through this without you showing your granny pants or wandering out onto my new patio. Listen, my love, if there's anyone out there who's had any experience of sleepwalking who wants to, can be bothered to get into...
Wow. I mean, they talk about toilets, but sleepwalking might be a little bit airy-fairy for them.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Oh, yeah,
you need to have a lot going on in your mind.
Yeah, can I just, about the sleepwalking, did someone went, because it's always, I was thinking it's an apocryphal thing, if they're not supposed to wake you up, are they?
Well,
it's just dangerous.
I don't know. It depends where you are. If you're next to a railway track, wake me up, for God's sake.
Yeah,
take the chance.
For Christ's sake. I had a bit of trouble with dear old Ruth Abbott when she stayed at my house. She, very often, I'd be going to bed at night, you know, snuggling up in bed, and I'd hear her rustling around outside my bedroom door. Had a couple of times, twice, I opened the door, I said, what the fucking hell are you doing, Ruth? And she'd be there, you know, she speaks, I was sleepwalking.
Oh, yeah.
I was sleepwalking.
How can you tell?
Well, exactly. Exactly. She was wearing her, this is really indelicate of me to, but it's none of my business. She's a younger lady, but she's clearly been wearing that same Snoopy, long Snoopy T-shirt since about 1978.
Is it long enough?
It's not long enough. How can I put it nicely? There's Snoopy on the front, but if you look down, you can see a Woodstock. On the back is Charlie Brown.
Bloody hell.
She came to the door and she'd be like, I'm sleepwalking. I said, you're not bloody sleepwalking, Ruth.
I think one of the signs of sleepwalking is you don't know you're doing it.
Exactly. You know, so that's, if anything, you're sleep scrolling through your phone waiting for me to go to bloody sleep so you can stick, you know, look through the keyhole at me. I mean, I mean, the poor girl. I was putting on my pyjamas, right? Yeah. Leaning over the bed, leaning over to get my brush to brush my hair.
Yeah.
She was looking straight into the new year. Presuming she likes that sort of thing. The dirty cow. That aside, why don't we move on now, Linda? It's all right, she looks like...
Just done bear thinking about, doesn't
it? No, it
really?
Doesn't. Let's move on to a very, very spooky story. Can we have the spooky music, please, and a bit of echo?
Yes.
Thank you.
Now,
this is from the Daily Bloody Star, who do go in for the supernatural stuff. I'm not going to poo-poo this one because I feel I've not been sort of principled enough over the weeks. I've ridiculed it a little bit.
You're starting to waver.
No, I'm not wavering. I'm absolutely convinced. It's just that some of the things, and the Daily Star, along with some of the other, let's call them down market magazines, do reduce what I do. They diminish what
well,
I
they
do.
They file it under weird news, which I think must be insulting.
Well, this was not weird news. This was a bloody headline news. Get this. An angel told me the adult industry was the right career. Now I'm an OnlyFans millionaire. Read it out if you would, Linda. Thank you.
OnlyFans model Alice Irving claims that an angel visited her when she was a student to reassure her that a career in the adult industry was her calling.
Good God.
I've been watching you sitting on the toilet.
Oh God, I keep pressing the wrong bloody one. Just a second.
I mean, you could probably get that on OnlyFans. They do niche.
They do. Hold on, where's it gone? I keep getting the bloody wrong ones. Hold on. No.
I think
I might have to delete some of these. They're
in
all...
Go, set my timer.
No, it's not that. I'm going to delete some of these later. Carry on, please.
So, yeah, she's given up her life as a student to pursue a career in the adult industry, saying it was a calling. It's funny.
Calling? Well, I mean, it normally refers to, you know, a career in the church or something, or a doctor or a teacher. In this case, no, the archangel of filthy muck has told this Alice Irving it's a vocation in life to do grumble videos. If you'd be so kind, Linda, spooky adult entertainment music, please, again, if you have it. And apparently, the angel told her she was on the right path, and now she earns almost six figures each year from the adult site, which is, I mean, over the last year, I've earned four figures on an adult site, £11.31. It is four figures. Carry on, Linda. Hold on, that was a little bit of a joke. Just a second. Goes on too long.
I mean, it was a good one.
Yeah, it's a hilarious one. Carry on, Linda.
Canadian-born Alice Irving, 24, in case you're wondering, exclusively told the Daily Star previously that she's a witch.
Oh, they're all witches.
Oh, she's spoken to them before, I see.
Who's
had people speak to her in dreams from a very young age. She even said, my God, that she foresaw her father's tragic murder when she was just 12 years old. Isn't that horrible?
Bloody... Well, he was murdered, which is... You're right, it is horrible, but I mean... I know it's a bit cynical. Every cloud. I mean, it saved him the embarrassment of seeing his daughter showing her anus on the nudie site OnlyFans, doesn't it? So that's something, isn't it?
I don't think dads normally sign up, but I wouldn't rule it out.
Swings and roundabouts.
Now she explains how an angel persuaded her to launch a career in the adult industry.
An angel came down. Now, look, I don't imagine it was the Archangel Gabriel. You know, I imagine it was... You know when ladies use Halloween to dress up really tarty.
Right.
I don't know where it says that in the Halloween code. I know I'll dress up as a really tarty nurse with a chainsaw, but I imagine it was that sort of angel, you know, a sort of fancy dress angel.
A mucky one. Okay.
A mucky angel, mucky angel. She found the choice to make the major move a hard one, but also hasn't looked back over her shoulder with a finger in her mouth. She said, I was a student and decided to stop what I was doing and go full time into the adult industry. And she's Canadian. Can you do the accent?
Yeah.
She's gone. How does she speak?
I was doubtful about it. No, I can't do it.
I was doubtful about it because I was a good student, but I felt my cockney. Yeah.
Let's just do the normal voice.
I was doubtful about it because I was a good student.
Now do a normal voice.
I was doubtful about it because I was a good student. But I felt that my call was to go into the adult industry and I don't regret a thing. I was really worried about that, but this angel came to visit me. She was telling me, I know the world will tell you this is the wrong decision, but you're on the right path.
She's previously opened up about her time as leader of an online Seven Deadly Sins cult where men would pay up to $100,000, which, by the way, if you want to exchange that, is £76,000.
God.
Just to hear her speak.
Now, so I was intrigued with this, right? What is special about her voice, this Alice Irving person?
Yeah.
I tried to look her up on Insta and she does... I couldn't get her actual voice. I wanted to play it to you all so you didn't all have to pay £100,000. And I could not find the woman speaking. She does the thing on Insta where they mime,
oh,
you know, they mime to
very
something.
Modern.
But it opened up a bloody can of worms because try as I might, I couldn't get a recording of her speaking. But if you look up, and I'm sorry to say this, you know, adult models speaking, you get a lot of filthy talk. You do not want this on your hard drive.
Stupid.
No, it's not that. It's not that. It's hold
Arthur
on.
Lowe.
That's Arthur Lowe. I'm pressing the wrong bloody ones. Hold on. Just a minute. You don't want any of this.
In a ghost.
No, doesn't matter. The thing is, I looked it up and I found all these various people talking in a sexy way. None of them this particular model,
no.
Alice Irving. But what I did do, I found this is an absolutely extraordinary thing. Now, those of you might remember Ian Lee, who's on the other week. Ian Lee. vaguely remember him, that fella. And he used to have a woman who phoned up, and honestly, I was reminded of this. Maureen from Tottenham.
Richard Bacon.
Yeah, similar sort of thing. And Maureen from Tottenham, who was an older lady who likes to use filthy language, and I just had to share it with you. Have a listen to this. It's not Alice Irving. It might not be worth £100,000, but it is worth its weight in gold. Have a listen to this.
On the radio.
I heard you on BBC London saying that you were having some with the old boy next door.
That's right, naughty boy you are, Ian.
You're a naughty girl from what you were saying.
I didn't say anything rude.
You didn't say anything rude, but the implication was he's married and you're getting some.
Well, I didn't say I'm having sex at the moment.
But it's building up to a sexual relationship.
But if I do, I'll tell him to use a condom.
Yes, of course, safe sex all the time.
Ian, do you live in Haringey?
Yes, I do.
I live in Haringey in Tottenham.
Oh, right. I live in Muswell Hill.
Oh, would you like to come for dinner sometime?
It depends. What are you going to give me?
I'm going to make you taste my jam donut. It's very tasty. It's a jam donut, Ian. Do you like cakes, do you?
I love cakes.
Would you like to taste my jam donut?
Have you ever done this? When you're eating a donut, try and eat a donut without licking your lips. It's impossible.
Well, it's naughty.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes. Well, I'll have a jam donut and I'll bring you over an eclair.
No, I want you to bring yourself.
Oh, okay.
And I'll offer you my body, if you want to.
I'm fine, thank you.
Right.
But that is very naughty, so I might have to punish you.
You know, when I hear you on The Voice, on the radio, you give me goosebumps.
Really?
You do.
Well, you make me nervous.
You make me feel sexy.
Well, that's good. If I can make an old woman feel like she's a woman again, then that's I've done something, haven't I?
Would you like to spank my bottom one day?
DL, she don't mind, does she?
She don't mind, but that's Maureen. And if Maureen wants to get in touch, I'd love to hear from her. It's not Alice Irving. I don't think you'd spend that sort of money. Anyway, get back to Alice Irving, right? It's easy to dismiss this woman who says, you know, that she's heard an angel, the archangel of muckiness. In all seriousness, if a angel came to you, right, visited you and said that, as this woman says, it is your vocation in life to have a load of blokes paying by standing order to gawp at your plastic bosoms and fanning the eating that you've had done. That's your calling, right? That is your calling. That's what the archangel Gabriel says. If you believed it was an actual angel, surely you'd do it, wouldn't you, Melon?
Well, I think if you've prepped your area, why not?
If you prep the area, it's all about preparation, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. You want a tidy workspace, and if she's got one, why not show it?
Don't just jump in 2 feet at a time, which is a...
For God's sake, though, can you imagine if that bloke turned up just out of the blue when you're on an off day?
What do you mean?
You know, when you've not shaved your legs enough.
Oh, bloody... What, who did...
There might be
I
a
see.
Market for that, though.
Oh, there is. Oh.
Well, how do you know?
Apparently, there is. Now, before our Christian friends get in touch, I'm just using this as a respectful example, right? That's what I mean. If the Archangel Gabriel came down, right?
Right.
I mean...
Don't think he concerns himself with such things, but let's imagine.
No, but he's come down, he's asked... You know, he previously asked the wise men and the shepherds to follow a star to Bethlehem. I can't personally see the same angel coming. And lo, the shepherds walked across the desert, for they were sort of afraid that they wouldn't get to see ye massive knockers of this lady. You know, if he did come down, you'd bloody well do it.
Yeah. No, Gabriel wouldn't concern himself with that. It'd be a different department, wouldn't it?
Well, who knows? Who knows what God's plan is?
Mysterious ways, you know, and all that, yeah.
1 minute, you know, the Son of God is being born. Next minute, Alice Irving's got Fanny out. But anyway, all you women out there saying I'm being sexist, I'm just saying if a bloody angel told you to do it, you bloody well would.
You make me feel sexy.
Exactly. Well, so much for that. But Maureen from Tottenham, if you're out there, please do get in touch with us. Moving on, let's go now to your phone messages.
One new message.
So, this must have been about 1978 or 79 in South Wales. So, my friend lived across the road. She also had lived with a nan. The nan died. There we were downstairs anyway, playing with the Ouija board, as you were. The Ouija board was saying, go to the bottom of the stairs. I goes creeping to the bottom of the stairs, and I swear to fucking God, there was Granny at the top of the stairs, hovering. And the message was, you need to feed the kids more than just chips from the chip shop. That was it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Now, just recently, I have got into, well, listened to a lot of English folk music, English and American folk music. And I've been listening to a lot of people like, you know, Whispering Bob Harris on Radio 3. And it occurred to me that a lot of folk music, English and American, worldwide, deals with the supernatural. People like Loretta Lynn and so forth, Tammy Wynette even. And I thought I would do a little bit of an investigation in this. So I got in touch with a fellow called Richard de Longstone from the English Folk and Antiquarian Folk Music Society. And I'm happy to say Richard is here with me now. Hello, Richard.
Hi. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Okay.
Lovely. What? Tell me, what does the English Folk and Antiquarian Folk Music Society do?
We collect music from old times. It's medieval. Tudor music. What you've got to remember is a lot of this music, it's just handed down verbatim from generation to generation. It wasn't written down until 18th, 19th century. So, we collect, we collate, and we compare, and we try to get together every now and then and perform some of the stuff.
Right, and I understand you had a couple of examples that you could give us of the spookier side of folk music. Just a couple of examples, because I know that people are fascinated in this sort of thing.
Yeah.
What can you give us?
Well, of course, if you're talking about medieval and Tudor music, death was a theme, because Dowland, for instance, writes, come death and take me. You know, death was a release. They had a different relationship to that.
Than what we do nowadays. Yeah.
So
it had to embrace it.
Oh yeah, yeah. So you have. There was a fair maiden from Golden Common. That's in Hampshire. It's near Chelmsford.
Right. Oh, this is lovely, lovely music. I think.
And she did cavort with a local man. We don't know who the man was.
Right, cavorting. Yes.
But her father was sore upset by this mingling of the two. I never knew that mingling was used in that context.
It's a euphemism for sex, is it?
I think it may be, in some way, courting.
It's a lovely song. It's got a lovely ring to it. Yeah. And this speaks of great old England, doesn't it? Yeah. Lovely, very noble, noble stuff.
Of course, they all have a story. And as you heard, the father was sore upset.
Very upset about his daughter mingling. we'll call it mingling.
Call it mingling. And he did take an axe to them both. Bold and frightsome Eve. Bold and frightsome Eve.
That sounds ominous. It sounds like the supernatural, doesn't it? Bold and frightsome Eve.
But what happens then? Unusual to change key in this kind of music, but she did then haunt him. She did haunt him forevermore, and her spectre did turn up on the turrets of the local manor house one eve.
Oh, and lovely story! Wonderful,
like a banshee. And chains were heard a rattling on the heath. Father, he did then kill himself.
Oh.
Kill himself in pain and anger. For what had he done? He cried. What have I done? I must gouge out mine own eyes with a scythe. Must gouge out mine own eyes with a scythe.
Ooh, nasty. And so it's a lot about death, isn't it? Horrible days.
You can't...
Days of torment,
You can't talk about haunting without death, really, can you?
No, absolutely right. Have you got any to tell a lovely story, a story that the listeners might like?
Something romantic.
From days of yore.
Something romantic. Check my cards here. From Norfolk.
Lovely. Norfolk story for everybody.
This is of two lovers in the springtime, as you'll hear when I sing it. Okay. Two lovers in springtime did cavort in the meadows by the fields. And they did kiss each other in wanton fashion. In wanton fashion they did kiss each other lying in the grass.
Oh, lovely.
The sun did shine, the birds they did a twitter in the sky. A twittering in the sky they did a twitter.
Lovely.
And when the gentleman did look upon the body of the maid, so naked in front of her, he did cry out, no, he did cry, no, thou art not who I did think thou wert, thou art not who I did think thou wert.
Right.
So he did take out of his pouch a knife for cutting fish, and he did put it to her throat, and the blood did spurt all over the grass.
Right, okay.
So that squirrels came along and ate it up. And the flies were there forevermore. For if you walk that field, there are still guts to be found, splashed around in the meadow.
Richard.
Meadows where the flies go.
Right, Richard.
Yeah.
Richard. Not with all due... I mean, that's lovely. I get it. I mean, that sort of... Can you keep it a little bit light? Just keep it light. Is there anything...
Oh, a light one.
Yeah, light. Want, go on, try again with a light.
Yes, there's the... From Yorkshire.
Yeah.
And it's in three times. So it's a sort of... Right. It's not really a waltz, but it is in three times.
Okay.
Merrily, merrily, skipping along, the children of Yorkshire did find that they merrily, merrily skipped along, until along came a bear, and it bit off the head of the first child.
Fuck you.
Blood did spurt on the road, on the cobblestones, blood did spurt.
Jesus Christ.
Along came a man, swept it all up in a bucket. Blood, blood, everywhere blood. The children's blood did spurt on the road. There was blood and guts all over the place.
For fuck's sake, Richard.
Skipping Yorkshire. I get a bit upset about that one.
Yeah, right. What's that? It's about a bear ripping a fucking head off a...
Yeah, well, there were bears in those days. There were bears. I mean, it was a constant danger.
Yeah, well, there might have been in those days. I've asked you to... I mean, with all due respect, you gave me the impression you were going to tell some nice... sing some nice folk stories. Have you just... I mean, one of them you just told about someone who slit his lover from head to toe and all the flies and that and his guts all over the field. And this one's about a fucking bear coming on, ripping the head off some kid.
I could try and find something...
Right, OK, please. I have to edit these ones out.
There's the lovely old woman with her cat. Now, where's that from? I think it's Buckinghamshire. I'm trying to remember.
Well, the cat doesn't get ripped from fucking arsehole
We did this one at a gig last year at a festival.
OK, lovely.
You've got to try and remember it. Forgive me if I get the words wrong.
All right.
Parum pum pum, parum pum pum. That's right.
Oh, she's nice.
Pum parum pum pum. The drummer came along. The old lady listened to the drums.
Oh,
she stroked
nice.
Her cat. She stroked her cat, a lovely cat of black and white. And she heard the drums. Parum pum pum, parum pum pum, parum pum pum. It was the drums of the soldiers. The soldiers were marching down the road.
Okay.
And they came into her cottage. They took her little cat and they hung it from the beams of her door. Then they took her fish knife and slit its gizzard, slit its throat from ear to ear. They took its eyeballs out and they squashed them on the floor under their jackboots, that was it, jackboots. The soldiers, they did kill the old lady's cat, and then they took the lady out into the road and they did burn her at the stake. Burn her at the stake.
Can I stop? Richard, can I stop you?
Yes.
With all due respect, this is just going to... people are going to be turning off if they have to listen to this shit.
But you don't like history.
Well, I don't like it, no.
This is your history, your English, yes?
Yes, well, okay, it's English.
Yeah, this
whatever.
Is English history. This is what happened. This was real life. These songs were written by real people.
Yes,
this
I get
is not
that.
Ed Sheeran thinking about how he can make a fast buck by selling.
I'm not
some
fucking
story.
Simon Cowell. Don't take it out on me.
Well, is this so typical of the current mode of it's wokeness? What you're doing is wokeness. You're trying to whitewash England's musical history because you don't like it, because you think cats are nice.
I don't like it because I don't want my listeners to hear about people having their nape of their neck ripped
down
with their guts split.
I'm sorry if your listeners like their Little Mix.
Well, I don't. Not saying they do like it. I was just hoping for something nice, ghosty story, and then you gave me the impression you were going to sing something nice from Yorkshire and fucking Hampshire or something. All I've heard is about people having their gizzards taken out.
It's real life, and death is part of real life. If you don't want that, then, go and listen to, I don't know,
Kanye West, whatever.
Yes,
you
okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right.
All right. All right, thank you. Thanks very much.
Yeah, that's this is lovely. Just political correctness gone mad.
Oh, don't.
You are
basically,
you're the kind of people who don't like it. You want to edit out little bits of films, or you don't want to do Shakespeare because it's a bit racist. You don't want to do Shakespeare because it's colonial.
Oh, don't start that. You're don't start the racist
stuff. You are exactly that. You don't want to know what your history was because you're pandering.
All right, Enoch, give it a bloody rest.
You're pandering. You're just Keir Starmer in drag.
Oh, okay. I'll bring him into it.
Yeah.
Drag him into it.
Yeah. You're not allowed to say anything. I mean, this is just political correctness gone mad. You go to gigs now.
It's
they
not.
Won't even let you sing the song of the dirty. They won't.
No,
they won't let
Jesus
you sing
Christ.
the meant that because
no, you're
oh,
not
because
allowed.
It's a word
right.
that they don't like.
No.
No,
please. No, thank you. That's
enough. Take that. They won't. Me.
Get out, please. Thank you.
All right, shut them out. Well, he won't be invited on again. Yes, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, me and Ramon Tamin are touring all over the country this autumn through Phil McIntyre Productions. Please, please do come and see it. Tickets at clintonbaptiste.com/live. It's a show called Clinton Baptiste versus Ramon. We're working very, very hard. We've started rehearsals with this fella, Brendan O'Hay, who gave me a ring after the first bloody rehearsal.
Hello, Clinton Baptiste.
Clinton, it's Brendan.
Oh, hello, Brendan. Great day's rehearsal today. Lovely.
Yes, it was very good. I just want to clear the air about something, if it's okay with you.
Clear the air? What do you... Clear the air?
Yes, it's just that I was CC'd into an email that I presume I wasn't meant to see, which Ramon has sent to you. And, may I just read it to you? Because it says, Brendan, hi, Clinton. Obviously, this is Ramon talking. What did you make of our director, Brendan?
Okay.
I'm not being bitchy, but I nearly had a fit when he turned up in those tight jogging bottoms for rehearsals.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Fuck's sake, he says, goes on to say, I didn't want to do a warm-up before every rehearsal session. Let's just do the script.
Yeah.
Particularly if he's going to wear those jogging bottoms that show his ball bag and winkle when he bobs up and down. Mm. Well, he's a proper theatre director, pretentious or no. See you tomorrow for more bollocks.
Yeah, I did see that email. That's disgusting. And I don't know what Ramon thinks he's doing, sending emails like that. I can only apologise, and I will certainly tell him off.
Yeah, it's day one, Clinton. I can't have this.
We've all got to be trusting each other and work together very closely. That's disgusting, and I will tell him.
Well, you say it's disgusting, but you reply. This is your reply, which I was then copied into.
Oh, to that email.
Yes, unwittingly, obviously, because you say then to Ramon, ha, 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 fucking Brendan and his tight tracksuit trousers. I was suppressing a laugh throughout. I just hope he can spend as much time on rehearsing as he does on his lunch. Yeah. Eat. That fat fucker can put it away.
Yeah.
At the tea break, when he said, let's take 15, I didn't realise he meant biscuits. Ha, ha.
Yes, that was unfortunate. I was just trying to keep in with Ramon, and I just apologise. I didn't know you had been CC'd in. I didn't notice you'd been. I can only apologise for that. It's embarrassing. And if you want to eat a lot of biscuits, I seem to remember you brought the biscuits, so.
Which I thought was an act of generosity.
It was, and the jolly nice biscuits. And if you want to have as many biscuits as you like. It doesn't matter. And I do apologise. And if you want to have chips and that for lunch, that's entirely up to you. And I can only apologise.
It is entirely. I'm not ha-high like you're ha-high. No. I'm a bit fucking irritated, to be honest.
Sorry.
It's day one, and we can't go on like this. No. There has to be a little bit of an element of trust into the room.
It's Ramon. I really think you're great. Like, top director. He's not used to working with people. I'm a performer, and I understand. And he just needs to be a little bit more sensitive, and he shouldn't have sent me that email. All right, I shouldn't have mentioned you eating biscuits and your lunch, or called you a fat fucker. That was out of order. But can we just move on, please? Put it behind us.
Okay, we'll move on. We'll move on.
Right. Okay, well, see you tomorrow.
10 o'clock. Try and be on time tomorrow as well, by the way.
Try and be on time. I'm sorry, that was unfortunate. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was a great shame, wasn't it? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have very often take what we call in the business taking the piss out of Chat It's Fate magazine. However, get ready for this, because I flipped through the other day this morning and I found this creepy true life story that Linda is going to impart to you. If you would, Linda, spooky music, please.
Brace yourselves, spooky fans.
Yeah.
This is the story, the testimony, if you will, of Claire Banks, 45, from Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
Walking into my three-year-old son Christopher's bedroom, I frowned. He was fast asleep on the floor next to his baby sister, Molly's cot, again. Baby sister Molly's cot again.
Yeah, try and read it properly.
Gently, they just need a few more comments.
I know.
Would you like to spank my bottom one day?
No, thanks.
Gently, I woke him up, put him back in his own bed. Why are you sleeping on the floor? I asked him. I need to protect Molly, he replied sleepily. As I kissed him goodnight and quietly closed the door, I couldn't help wondering, protect her from what?
Yeah.
I soon found out. When I went into Christopher's room next morning, he cowered back under his duvet. Show me your hands and teeth, he demanded. What? I said, confused. Show me your hands and teeth, he repeated, looking agitated. I did as he asked me, and he visibly relaxed and then burst into tears.
Go on.
What's the matter? I cried, rushing forward to cuddle him. His reply chilled my blood. Ghost of Rare just looks like you, Mummy, he said.
What?
But it's got long fingernails and really sharp teeth.
Really shit yourself.
Good God.
Talking to him, I discovered that he'd been seeing this ghost of rare in his room for many nights now, sometimes appearing like me or like his daddy, but always with sharp fingernails and teeth.
Oh, my God! Sorry, there's a demon appearing that looks like the parents, but if you look closer, you've got sharp nails and teeth.
Yeah, like that. What's that? That... Coraline. Have you seen that? They've got buttons for eyes.
Oh, my God.
Similar but pointy.
I was thinking if it was me, what I'd look like, if I was someone's dad, and let's hope that's not the case, if I turn up with sharp nails and sharp teeth, I was thinking I'd probably resemble, you know, in Blades of Glory?
Yes.
You know that bloke with the hair? What's his name? He's a character called Jimmy McElroy.
Right.
And it's played by John Hader.
Right.
Do you know that one? That's what I'd look like. Sharp teeth and bloody sharp nails.
Bloody hell, get the crucifix.
Continue.
It would be easy to dismiss this as a nightmare, may I also interject, or a load of bollocks.
Yeah. Can you not take the piss out of his paranormal podcast, you silly cow?
Or the product of an overactive imagination, but Christopher had never seen anything like this on the TV. Oh, right, so it must be true.
Yeah.
Or even read a book about it. The other thing was, he wasn't the only one who'd seen something unusual in our house, because we lived in a large Victorian house in Middlesbrough, and you don't need to be sensitive to realise the place was haunted.
Bloody hell. Linda, has that ever happened to you? I mean, I am not saying for a second that these people were playing a trick on the kids, but it just did remind me something about, I remember hearing on the radio, and I think, but that was Ian Lee show, it was someone who phoned up and said that what their mum used to do when he'd come home from school was hide behind the curtains and say, I am not your mum, I am from outer space, your mum has been captured and sent to the planet. And the kid would say, you know, it was a joke from the mum who would just keep going with this thing forever and ever. But it was actually really freaky.
I bet that was quite traumatic.
Yeah.
I have a never done anything like that because I'm much too sensitive to people's feelings. Yeah. You know what I'm like? I'm all heart. Yeah. But our Kevin...
got a very big heart, but you can get tablets for that. It's a cardiac problem she's got.
Our Kevin, the daft sod, he's got a little lad.
Right.
And when the lad was three...
Yeah.
Kevin's wife noticed that he wouldn't stop in his bedroom. He kept
coming
out. What are you doing out of bed? I don't want to go in there. Why are you out of bed, getting back in bed? I don't want to go in there.
Right.
And she said to Kevin, Kevin, what's going on with our kid? He won't go to sleep.
Yeah.
And Kevin finally confessed that on night one, after doing this kid's bedroom up, he'd put the baby monitor in the other way around, right? So it's a speaker rather than a listener.
See. Yeah, yeah.
And he'd whispered down the baby monitor, I'm Rumpelstiltskin. I'm coming to get you.
What a bastard.
And that, my friends, will do it.
That is absolutely... It will shit you up, yeah. God,
so this
that's
kid was
horrible.
Trying to Rumpelstiltskin come in.
You're Kevin, what, your brother?
Well, he's not really my brother, he's my half-brother.
God,
it's a bit complicated, that side.
Yeah, well, sounds like it. I disown them. What a bastard.
Yeah, what a shit.
God, if you've got any stories like that where your parents have played a trick on you and it's absolutely scarred you, don't send it to us because it sounds horrible.
I would say the little lad's fine, but he's not really.
Oh.
I mean, I'd say it didn't do him any harm, but I think it might have.
What do you mean? Why? Go on.
Well, the lad's now... He keeps getting done for shoplifting.
Oh, well, excuse me. I'm sorry to sound like Mr. Middle Age here. I don't want to sound like a gammon, right? But what I will... Can I just say, it's always everyone else's fault, isn't it? You can't blame the... I've criticised the parents for shitting him up. But you can't say forever, oh, yeah, no, sorry, I had to shoplift. Because once upon a time, my dad once played a semi-humorous joke on me.
Yeah.
No, I'm not having that.
You can't use Rumpelstiltskin made me do it.
Rumpelstiltskin made me do it. I can't be blamed. No, I can't possibly be blamed for that. It's all down to my dad when I was about 3 years old and in my cot. He pretended to be Rumpelstiltskin. It's for that reason alone that I go on the nick in Poundland. Come on! Ladies and gentlemen, time now for your paranormal headlines. Chat, it's Fate magazine, are going with a focus on massage. Tarami massage, where the masseuse mimic the ocean waves. Southern Indian massage, where the masseuse balances essential oils and organic herbs. And Stockport massage, where Cheryl pulls on the Lambert and Butler, must stick a finger up your anus if you ask nicely. That's a joke. Haunted magazine have a tormented email from a man who says, I think I'm a lost soul. I wander around stuck in the past like Bruce Willis in The Sixth Sense. Nobody seems to be aware of my presence or wants to interact with me. And that's from a Mr. N. Farage from Kent. And finally, Take a Break's resident dream interpreter says, eat a packet of cheese every night before bed for sexy dreams, but don't take them into your actual bed or you could wake up in the morning with a red Leicester stuck between your legs. And those are your paranormal headlines when you wake up tomorrow. Well, we've had a lot of fun, haven't we, Linda?
Oh, we've had some, yes.
Try, my love, not to do too much of that sleepwalking, OK? And I'm hoping you'll be... Will you be back next week? Do you think you can come back next week?
I think probably, yes.
Oh, I really do hope so, because she makes the show, doesn't she, ladies and gentlemen? She's lovely. And if you come next week...
I'm going to make him taste my jam donut.
If you're lucky. Until next time, namaste, my darling. Shall we say goodbye?
Bye then, bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Oh, a final little bit of housekeeping. Please, please come and see Clinton Baptiste versus Ramones. There's no point rehearsing it if no one's going to turn up. Tickets at clintonbaptiste.com/live. And finally, Maureen from Tottenham, that lovely, that sexy, flirty old lady. Please get in touch with us. You know why? Because...
You make me feel sexy.
See you next time. Namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, right. Clinton Baptiste here, offering you the chance to enjoy my Patreon podcast for free for 7 days. So many people have been joining me over there. It's a shame that you're not. We've got videos, cartoons, we've got all sorts of stuff, all the old back catalogue, and a chance for exclusive dibs on tickets before anyone else. Please come to patreon.com/Clinton Baptiste. All right, spirit fading now. See you there. Fading now.